get lost in you. So anyone who finds me first finds you. I wanna be one with you. Where I end, you begin and keep on going. I wanna breathe you in. So every time I breathe out, you're
Hi, I'm Mike Spaulding. Welcome to the Transforming Word radio program. I consider it a great privilege to teach God's Word to you each day. Today we will be studying in the book of 2 Timothy, where we will find encouragement to continue in our faith during difficult times. Open your Bibles and join me now for another study in the Word. My prayer is that God will transform your heart as you consider all that He speaks to you today.
Well, once again, I find the teaching or the theme of what we'll talk about this morning contained in the worship set. Of course, we should be used to that by now, right? I think you'll see what I mean, particularly in that last song, Breakthrough. So turn with me to 2 Timothy, beginning a new study this morning. 2 Timothy. The context is similar to 1 Timothy, to Titus. I've shared along and through our study of 1 Timothy that these two letters are very closely related to one another. After Paul, and you can read about this in the book of Acts, but after Paul was released from his imprisonment in Rome, where he was really under house arrest, more or less, he was able to receive visitors and write letters and pretty much lead a normal life. As normal a lifestyle as you can lead if you're in jail. But after he was released, he traveled to Ephesus, and he left Timothy there to oversee the work of the ministry. And from there, he traveled on to Macedonia. And Macedonia is modern-day Greece, the area of Philippi. It's believed that from Macedonia he wrote 1 Timothy. Scholars have estimated anywhere between 63 and 66 A.D. for the writing of 1 Timothy. I prefer, my opinion is a later date because I see 1 or 2 Timothy then being written a very short time after 1 Timothy. But from Macedonia writing 1 Timothy, from there, he traveled to Crete, where he left Titus, and that'll be our next book study. We'll get into Titus in about a month or so, and I can say that because 2 Timothy only has 4 chapters, so we should be able to do that in about a month. Famous last words. Yeah. So from Crete, then Paul traveled, some say back through Macedonia. That is a possibility as you look at the historical records. But he ended up in Troas. Troas is close if you have a biblical map in your mind that you can think about. The land bridge, so to speak, that sits just south of the Black Sea that kind of connects Macedonia and Achaia to modern-day Turkey, which in biblical times was called Asia Minor. Troas was one of the major cities close to that land mass, that land bridge, if you will, that most of the, if you know your church history, most of the pilgrims traveled into the Holy Land to see the relics and Jerusalem and all of the holy sites. And in fact, that same landmass is what the Crusaders used when they traveled into the Holy Land. So from Troas, he was arrested and he was transported back to Rome. Only this time he wasn't under house arrest. This time he was thrown in a dungeon. This time Paul knew that the end was near. And we're going to see that as we study through this letter, 2 Timothy. The reason for that, again, I'll give you one more historical anecdote and then we'll move on into the teaching. The reason for that is if you were to place the writing of this letter, I think around 60, very early 67 A.D., in 64 A.D., the madman Nero, you know Nero, the emperor, he set fire to Rome. He was crazy. He was insane. The Roman citizens, because it destroyed much of Rome, and the Roman citizens were in an uproar, and they were going to have his head, and so looking about for somebody to blame this fire on, he chose the Christians. And that really, as much as anything else, started a severe persecution of believers under Nero's reign. Now, Nero died in 68 A.D. Paul was beheaded, by the way, in about 67 A.D. So this letter to the 2 Timothy really was Paul's last will and testament. It was the last words that he would write corresponding with any of the believers. Now, the letter itself is different from any other letter that we see in the Scriptures. It's a very personal letter. It's not meant to be theological at all, although you can't help but see theology in it. But it was not written as a theological treatise, so to speak. It was much more personal in nature. In fact, I think Paul wrote it to encourage a discouraged Timothy. And that's why I say that Breakthrough, that song that we sang this morning, was so appropriate. Because what you're going to see in this letter, I'm going to point a few of these things out just to set the context so you see this. When Nero's persecution started, it spread throughout the entire Roman Empire. And remember that Timothy is in Ephesus, a major Roman city. And so that same persecution would have come there. And I believe that the Christians more or less went underground. They kept a very low profile because they didn't want to be targeted by this outbreak of persecution. And so Paul is concerned about Timothy. He's concerned about his emotional state. He's concerned about him physically and the danger that he was in, but he's also concerned about his emotional state, where he was at spiritually. And that's one of the things that I like about the Scriptures. The Scriptures are very honest in their presentation. If this was to be concocted, as some people think that it is, if it was just made up, I can guarantee you that you wouldn't read any passages, any verses, any sections, any books that really show the warts, so to speak. But that's one of the things that I like about the Scriptures. It just tells the truth. It is what it is. And guess what? We know by experience that we struggle. We have times and situations in life that really exact a toll on us. Whether it's relationships, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's our job, whether it's our finances, there are all kinds of things that happen that have an impact on us. This letter clearly, to me, shows us Paul's concern for his young son in the faith, Timothy. Well, why do you say that, Mike? Well, read these verses with that in mind this idea of Paul wanting to encourage a discouraged Timothy and see if it doesn't begin to emerge. Look briefly with me at verse 7 of chapter 1. He says, God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear. Well, what can we deduce from that? Perhaps Timothy was fearful. Look at verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony. Well, what can we get from that? Perhaps Timothy was starting to pull back a little bit, not wanting to be quite as bold in the proclamation of the gospel because of the persecution. Look at verse 13 of chapter 1. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me. How many of you understand that? Well, I don't want to start preaching right now. Well, I don't want to start preaching at all. I want to teach. But how many of you know that in the church today, the gospel has been watered down? And the alleged reason for that is because, well, we really just want to reach out and touch everybody. Well, there's nothing wrong with reaching out and touching everybody if you have the truth. Because what we want to do is we want to see people's lives changed. I don't want to water down the gospel and then people think, well, they're fine where they are. No, God wants to change you from where you are to where He wants you to be. It's about transformation. That's what the Christian life is about. God isn't something, salvation through faith in Christ is not something that we just add to our lives and then it makes us fuller. He wants to change everything about your life. He wants to reorder, reprioritize, redirect. And so he says, retain the standard. Perhaps Timothy was pulling back some. Look at verse 14. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which is entrusted to you. Hold on to that dearly. Look at verse 15 of chapter 2. Be diligent to present yourself approved. Now we read that and we just see the exhortation, but we don't ever stop to think, well, maybe Timothy was struggling in his studies, in his devotional life. Look at 16. But avoid worldly and empty chatter. Maybe he was giving an ear to all of this nonsense going on around him. Look at verse 22. Flee from youthful lusts, Paul says. Look at verse 24 of chapter 2. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome. So don't get bogged down in a bunch of fruitless arguments. Look at verse 25. With gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. Don't lash out. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3, but realize this. In other words, don't be surprised when these things happen. It's the last days. Look at verse 11 of chapter 3. Persecutions and sufferings. Listen, it's going to happen to you as a servant of God. Don't be surprised at that. Verse 12. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Well, there's a news flash for a good segment of the church today, huh? Well, if you're suffering, it's because you sinned and did something wrong. No, it's part and parcel of the walk. Well, if you're experiencing this or financial need or whatever, it's because you don't have enough faith. What? Where do you get that at in the Scripture? That's straight out of the pits of hell and smells like smoke, brothers and sisters. That's of the devil. All those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not maybe. Not if you find yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's a manner of living for the Lord. In fact, the Scripture teaches that proven character is developed by persecution. That's how you mature in the faith. Or as the proverb said, as iron sharpens iron. Yeah. Well, you get the picture, right? You get the picture that maybe Paul is writing this letter to Timothy to try and encourage him. And that's why I thought it was so appropriate today, break through all my doubts. Help, I have faith, help my unbelief. Strengthen me, Lord, for this life. So, with that as a background, let's look at what the text says. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. Did Paul need to remind Timothy that he was an apostle? No, he did not. Then why did he say it? Because he wanted Timothy to understand God's calling on his life. Listen, God called me, Timothy, as an apostle, and he called you. And notice, Paul inserts this little phrase that I just love, by the will of God. If you're a born-again believer, brothers and sisters, it is because God called you to himself. Do you understand that? It's because God opened up your mind to understand that your sin separated you from his holiness and from his salvation. And that recognition, that conviction of your sin that separates you from a holy God is what leads to faith. You see, nobody, and I mean nobody, comes to the Lord on their own. What? What are you talking about, Mike? Well, does the Scripture not say that it's the Holy Spirit that draws you into him? Did Jesus not say, no one comes to the Father but by me? Yeah. So by the will of God, you are saved, brothers and sisters. According, notice, to the promise of life in Christ Jesus. Do you know that there is only eternal life in Christ Jesus? Oh, that is so narrow-minded, Mike. Why don't you loosen up? Don't you understand that there are many paths to God? This is 2011, for crying out loud. That is the most arrogant, bigoted thing I've ever heard anybody say. Has anybody ever told you that? Has anybody ever questioned you and you said, well, Jesus is the only way? One way? There are many paths to God, but there's only one path that leads to eternal life. You see, everybody's going to stand before God one day, right?
Right?
So we can technically agree with the one who thinks they're saying God accepts all because there are many paths to God. We can technically agree with them, but there's a little twist to that. Yeah, all paths lead to God because all will stand before God one day. But listen, you want to be a sheep standing before God and not a goat. Yeah, you don't want to be in the wrong line. Jesus described it this way, the broad path and the narrow path. Many are those who are on the broad path, but Jesus said that path leads to what? Destruction. You know what they'll hear just before they enter into hell? Depart from me, for I never knew you. So it's good to know that we are saved by the will of God and that our promise of life in Christ Jesus is eternal life, and that it's found in Christ alone. So, to Timothy, verse 2, my beloved son, notice these three words, grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, mercy, and peace. What is grace? Well, grace is unmerited favor, right? It's unmerited favor that results in what? God's mercy. God's forgiveness. And mercy, brothers and sisters, think about this for a second. Chew on this truth. Mercy, as Paul presents it here, following on the heels of grace, is really deliverance from sin's consequences. Think about that. That's why I learned a long time ago in my Christian life not to say to the Lord, "That's not fair." Because I learned that I don't want God to be fair with me. I don't want Him to give me what I deserve. See, that's fairness. You get what you deserve. I don't want that. I want instead God's mercy. I want what God wants to give me. Because what He wants to give you, brothers and sisters, is so much better than what you can imagine. So His grace, His mercy, and those things result in peace. Do they not? When the grace of God is ours, when we know His grace, when we've experienced His mercy, His forgiveness, then we truly know peace. And that is such a precious commodity, don't you think? I work with so many people whose lives are in turmoil. They are just a wreck. And they don't know that the answer is Jesus Christ. Call out to Him. Confess your sin. And He is faithful and righteous to forgive you your sin. He calls people into a saving relationship with Himself. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And those are the unfathomable riches bestowed on us through faith, brothers and sisters. Grace, mercy, and peace. I thank God, verse 3, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Okay, let's unpack this. I thank God, first of all, he says, for Timothy. And that's the second part. You see that in verse 4. I thank God, and he gets this little parenthesis or side thought, but I thank God, verse 4, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. But in the meantime, he's thinking about thanking God, and he says, you know what? This God whom I thank, I serve with a clear conscience. Now, that's an important concept biblically. If you're a note taker, Bible student, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, you can write that down. Paul wrote to the Corinthians these words. He said, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world and especially toward you." What is the conscience, biblically speaking? Well, someone has described the conscience as the soul reflecting on itself. The soul, or the conscience, is like a skylight, if you will, letting the light in. It's not a lamp, but more of a skylight. It's a window, if you will, into your soul. Now, the reason that I describe it that way is because the conscience, it can lie to you. It can be perverted. It can be fooled. Now, we read about this, if you want to turn back to the last book, 1 Timothy chapter 4, just a couple of pages. Look at this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Notice what Paul says to Timothy in his earlier letter. The Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Folks, we're living in those days. Verse 2, by means of the hypocrisy of liars, what? Seared in their own conscience. You see that your conscience, you really can't say, yeah, well, and I know it's a proverb.
I want to get lost in you, so anyone who finds me first finds.
That's all we have time for today on the Transforming Word radio program. I hope today's study encouraged you to study the Bible for yourself. Remember, friends, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. The Transforming Word radio program is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel of Lima. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 682 West Grand Avenue in Lima. You may join all of our services live through our internet broadcast at www.cclohio.org. Click Watch Us Live and be a part of our internet family. For more information about the Transforming Word radio ministry, write us at the Transforming Word, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. When you write, please mention the call letters of this station. You may also contact me directly by email at the following address, pastormike@cclohio.org. Join us again tomorrow for another great study in the Bible. God bless you today as you seek Him.